Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to Philadelphia Eagles Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Woodman, and today I'm going to be doing a recap over free agency so far for all the NFC East teams and what that means for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles I will go over first, but they haven't done a ton, so this is not going to be a very lengthy podcast about the Eagles. This is going to be more about the division rivals in the NFC East, which have been way more active and have signed way more big-name free agents, which essentially makes me feel as if the Eagles are falling behind. I know this season, you know, you can't really fall behind until games are played, but from the looks of the depth charts and the way that these teams are loading up in division, I think as Eagles fans, we should all be concerned. We should all have some concern about the fact that, the Eagles are definitely, in my eyes, based off of some of the moves being made, they are falling behind big time, at least for the 2021 season. I know a lot of people are pointing to the fact that this next season is really going to be about development. It's going to be about Jalen Hurts or whatever young possible quarterback they could draft at 6. We can't rule that out. I mean, even in the press conference that Howie Roseman just had, there was a lot of talk about possibilities of, you know, the number 6 pick being a quarterback. They're not shying away from that being a very real possibility. But either way, they will have a young quarterback on the roster as the starter that they will eventually be trying to groom to be the franchise quarterback. And that's really what the 2021 season is going to be about. Which, you know, I don't think that that means that the Eagles have to punt on the season, though. I still think that based off the fact that they play in a weak division, they play a last place schedule, they still have the ability to compete, and they still have the ability to possibly win the division. But I feel like that window, as these other teams like Washington, like New York, are signing big-name free agents, and they were looking better as the season ended last year than the Eagles were also. I think based off of these things, that window is closing. I think that the concept of the Eagles possibly competing for a division title this upcoming season are looking slimmer and slimmer as the offseason goes on. And I'm going to talk about that as we discuss that. So I went over my last podcast. I did go over what additions the Eagles made. It's really just one position. They just add some guys in at the safety spot, one of which I'm definitely excited for. And that's Anthony Harris from the Minnesota Vikings, who has a lot of success with his time that he had with our defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon. That's the only signing that I think that as Eagles fans, you should really be excited about because they haven't really made a ton anyway. The only other real signing was another safety that I don't even think will make the roster, and Andrew Adams. I don't think that, if the Eagles address safety again in the draft, I don't really see how they're going to, how he would make the team, because they already have some, they're projected starters once Rodney McLeod is healthy and once Anthony Harris, obviously he's brought in to be a starter. Those are your two starting safeties. Kayvon Wallace has got to be a definite, they drafted him in the fourth round last year, so he's definitely making the roster. Then you have a couple of guys that they've shown a lot of interest in, a lot of names like Marcus Epps, who he played in a lot of games last year. Graylin Arnold, a guy that I think would fit the system. He's an undrafted guy, but I think all these guys take precedence over Andrew Adams. Andrew Adams would really have to show up in camp or, do something amazing to make the team. I really don't see him even making the roster, to be honest with you. So that's pretty much it. That's all the signings they made. They don't really have a ton of money, which is the reason and a lot of people have been basically saying this. They did do a good job. I don't want to leave out the players that they re-signed, because there were some pretty quality re-signings. So I'll go over that real quick, because they did bring back, despite not having a lot of money, they did bring back some very important defensive pieces, in my opinion, like Alex Singleton, who I think he has star potential. I mean, this is a guy that he flashed every game he started last year. He made plays. To me, this is a guy that could develop into the best linebacker on the roster, and he could develop even further than that. He could develop into a player that maybe one day gets, Pro Bowl consideration. I see that much in Alex Singleton, because if you don't know Alex Singleton, I think he comes from Canada, and he won some awards. He has some hardware on his shelf from playing in the Canadian Football League. So obviously, there's not a lot of huge success stories of guys coming from Canada Florida and coming into the NFL and doing a good job. But there are a few. I mean, guys like Cameron Wake did it. Obviously, he came to the NFL and, you know, went to multiple Pro Bowls. So there's definitely examples of guys coming from outside the league and basically developing into very good players. And I think that Alex Singleton could do that. Now, the award that he won, by the way, I'm trying to look that up right now because obviously, you know, I know as much about the Canadian Football League as any of you listening, I'm sure. But in 2017, he was the Canadian Football League's most outstanding defensive player. That's the award that he won. That's a pretty good award. He also won a championship in the same league, a Grey Cup champion. He was an all-star in 2017, 2018. I mean, this guy has a very high pedigree, you know, coming out of the Canadian Football League, which, you know, might not mean a lot to a lot of people, but any point, you know, in any league you play in, if you excel, that means that you're better than that competition. So obviously, you know, it's not too impressive that he played for the Calgary Stampeders, but what he did there proved that he was, you know, better than that league, and now he's playing in the NFL, and he's looking pretty good for the Eagles. I mean, this guy's had a long career path. He was originally drafted, or I'm sorry, not drafted, he was undrafted by the Seahawks in 2015, a team that knows a little thing. They know a thing or two about linebackers. Then I don't think he made the team. A couple days later, he was picked up by the Patriots, another team that knows how to, you know, find guys. They know how to find gems, you know, especially undrafted guys. I mean, every Super Bowl they won, it's like they had, you know, bag boys playing receivers or, you know, whatever. They always have a way of finding that unique talent. So he's definitely passed through a lot of really good organizations before he ended up in Philadelphia. And I think it's his time to be, you know, I think he could possibly be our best linebacker, to say the very least. So that's pretty much it. They also did resign Hassan Ridgeway, a very good, you know, defensive lineman. He's always given them good snaps. I've always liked Hassan Ridgeway. I don't want to go too crazy after that. But I think he's a very good rotational piece, and they need that because they did just lose, or they didn't lose, but they let go of you know, one of their bigger free agent signings from a few years ago, Malik Jackson, who never did anything. Hassan Ridgeway probably has done as much in his Eagles time as Malik Jackson did. So you lost that. Other than that, I mean, they do have some good signings on offense as well, some re-signings, I should say. Greg Ward they brought back, which obviously is, you know, he's a guy, he can play in the NFL, he's proven that, but he's a guy that you really have to upgrade over. Hopefully they draft a receiver at number 6 or at some point in the draft that Jalen Reagor could move into the slot. I think that would be for the best, and then have a true number 1 receiver. I think that's really the path that they would like to see their offense take, which obviously Greg Ward wouldn't want to see that, but Greg Ward's a guy, I mean, what did he average last year? Like 7-8 yards a catch. I mean, he's a very reliable receiver. He can do a few things very well, but he's a guy that at some point the Eagles really have to upgrade over, you know, to have a type of offense that I'm going to talk about to compete with the type of offenses that the division suddenly has, because the division suddenly has one of the deepest receiving cores. Every other team in the league or in the division suddenly has better receiving cores than the Eagles. The Cowboys already did. We already knew that they had a great receiving core, but now all of a sudden the Giants and the Washington Football Team are catching up, and it's very problematic. So with that being in mind, the Eagles definitely need to look at cornerback. I mean, as of right now, Darius Slay, I don't know what to make of him, to be honest with you. I mean, he hasn't really shown a ton in an Eagles uniform, which seems to be, you know, that seems to be our what we like to do. We like to bring in guys that are over the hill, and by the time they get here, we're getting a shell of themselves. Not saying that's what Darius Slay was or is. I thought he played some quality snaps last year. I don't want to be too hard on Darius Slay. I think that he still has, it would be nice to see what he has. I still think, I don't know how much he's really going to get out of the new system that the Eagles are running. We're going to be running a lot of cover 2 zone. I don't really know how many plays he's going to be able to make in that. I prefer, honestly, if you're running cover 2 zone, I almost prefer a more physical cornerback that can, you know, play the run a little bit better, that's more willing to tackle than Darius Slay. I don't know if this is a really good scheme fit for him because of that. He's a speed guy. He's a guy that probably excels better in man coverage, which is something he's run a lot of. And now we're locked in with him possibly playing a cover 2 cornerback, which I'm not really a huge fan of. But, you know, he's definitely not going to be a liability in cover 2 because that's not really the name of the game when it comes to cover 2. So it's something where I feel like it's almost, I'm not even sure what the saying would be, but I feel like it's almost, I would like to see him utilized more in a cover two or a cover three or something where he's really more responsible for deep halves of the field based off the fact that he does have that type of speed rather than playing in a box like a cover two. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how much they run cover two based off of that. Because last year, I know that the Eagles changed to man coverage more often based off of the fact that they did have a guy like Darius Slay who could, you know, supposedly shut down a team's number one receiver. I don't know how that's really going to translate this year based off the fact that it seems like they're going to be running a lot more cover too, but it's going to be very interesting. So the Eagles, as of right now, with the team as it looks as a whole on paper, this team looks like the third or the fourth best team in the division to me. Now, they don't really have a lot of money available. They have like $3 million, maybe $4 million available last time I heard, which you can sign a couple of guys. I mean, honestly, some low-profile guys, or you could sign a guy to a multi-year contract with a, you know, obviously a very small amount of money in the first year guaranteed and, you know, or base salary, and then the second year be a much higher hit, which is something that it looks like they're aiming to do. But it hasn't materialized yet. Nobody's really bit on that. So, you know, this is the roster we're looking at. Now, there are several other ways they can open up more money. Zach Ertz, it's amazing to me that he still hasn't been traded. I don't know at what point we're going to look at the Zach Ertz thing, the trade not happening, the fact that he's here and he's unhappy about it. I don't know at what point we're going to look at this as a huge swing and a miss by Howie and by Jeffrey Lurie. You know, the fact that they did not move Ertz sooner. It's kind of embarrassing because the fact that they've held on to Ertz, I'm sure it's cost them high quality free agent or two based off the fact that if they had the amount of money, if they were to trade Ertz, they'd have about $5 million opened up, which would give them, you know, closer to $10 million to play with. They probably could have signed a more meaningful free agent piece with that type of money that they couldn't do. And now the free agents, the quality free agents are dwindling. The options are dwindling and we're just holding on to Zach Ertz to try to get what, like in a round higher pick, maybe a fourth round pick instead of a fifth round pick. So because of that, they're really missing out on some good quality free agents as they're all flying off the board because the Eagles are playing a game of chicken with, I think it was the Chargers last I heard, and I don't know what the other team was. I think it was the Colts maybe. I'm not even sure what the two teams were. I know the Chargers were one of them, but it might have been the Bears. I'm not 100% sure, but apparently there's two teams that are very interested in Zach Ertz, and neither one of them are blinking, and the Eagles are just sitting on Zach Ertz's contract right now, and it's preventing them from making other signings. So at some point, we need to look at that and say what a mistake that was to do, where they could have, you know, freed up that money and made some long-lasting additions to this team rather than hanging on to Zach Ertz for one more year, which I don't think the Eagles want to do, and I don't think that Zach Ertz wants to do. He wants to get a bigger contract. He wants to get guaranteed money. He wants to get paid like all, you know, NFL players want to do because these contracts are not guaranteed. He had a really bad year last year, and there's multiple things that you could look at to say that that's why Zach Ertz had a bad year. Number one, I felt like he was not putting himself on the line based off of the fact that, you know, he doesn't know what his future is in this with this team. I think he would have played harder and put himself on the line more if he knew he had a long-term contract with the Eagles. The second he came into camp and he was literally crying at his locker, you know, with the idea that he knew his time in Philadelphia was up, I feel like he wasn't giving it his all. I feel like he wasn't, you know, he probably was playing it safe because a big injury, obviously, we all see how that costs guys. Especially a non-quarterback like Zach Ertz. I mean, you know, major injuries can do a very, you know, it could destroy his value on the market, and it could destroy his value, you know, which is obviously he doesn't want to do. So I don't even know if he'll play on this one-year contract that he's on. Who knows? He might, you know, play hardball and say we're not playing, and we haven't reached that yet, but any number of things are possible. So Zach Ertz, I mean, I still think the guy can play. I still think that he's got, you know, a lot of ability as a receiver, and I think that they could definitely get something out of him if, for whatever reason, the Eagles keep him around. But I would rather move on. I think it's to the point where you could, you know, make that argument that it's probably best for everybody just to move on, and it is what it is. I mean, they've moved on from several, you know, key veterans this offseason. So Zach Ertz, I would just add him to that pile, and I'm not going to cry about it if they move on from Zach Ertz. I still think he's a good player, though. I still think that he can have a lot of value in this offense because, you know, receiver's still obviously a priority, and having weapons around Jalen Hurts is still obviously a priority, and I think Zach Ertz, a healthy Zach Ertz, can still be that. But with that being said, I mean, there are other ways they can open up money. Lane Johnson has come out publicly and said that he's willing to restructure to open up money. They could still restructure Fletcher Cox. But given the age of both those players, I think it's wiser not to do that. It'd be wiser to maybe try to move on from them at some point within the next couple of years rather than continue to restructure them. I don't think that's a very good idea. So I don't see I'm not upset that they're not restructuring guys like that. But I wouldn't mind seeing them extend Derek Barnett, which is another thing that it's been rumored that if they could extend him, then they would get obviously that could open up some money, rather than the $10 million that they owe him this year. Those are pretty much the only pathways to open up money. And the projections I saw that if they did those four things, trade Ertz, restructure those two players, and extend Derek Barnett, I see that they could probably open up somewhere to close to like $30 million. But at this point, with all the quality free agents flying off the board, it just doesn't seem to make a ton of sense. It doesn't seem to make a ton of sense to do that anymore based off the fact that, if you have $30 million, what do you need to spend it on at this point? I don't really feel like any of the free agents that are left are really, there's still some good ones, and I'll go over them here in a minute, but ultimately, I don't think you need $30 million for what's left on the market. I'd be happier with, like $5 to $10 million, which you could easily get by extending Barnett and then not shooting yourself in the foot for the future, basically by restructuring guys like Lane Johnson, who's one suspension away from a two-year suspension and his NFL career essentially being over. Also coming off of a major injury, things like that I'd rather not do and just, deal with the team that we have. But they could definitely be making some good signings. There's still some quality guys out there that they could make. I think the biggest needs are the same needs that have been the Eagles' biggest needs this entire time, which is cornerback and receiver, something that they've been trying to address for several years. You can also say linebacker is still a pretty big one. I still think safety could be, but based off of their limited resources, I think that for the most part that the Eagles will probably try to address. If they have any, additional cap space left, they'll probably go cornerback or receiver. Those would probably be the two that I would think that would make the most sense for the Eagles still do. I still think they bring in a veteran running back too at some point, but they could also just draft one, which wouldn't be the worst idea. But as far as what cornerbacks are still out there, I mean, I'm going to look past the big names. Guys like Richard Sherman, who I think that he's to the point where I just think he wants to get the biggest contract he possibly can at this late stage in his career. That's not a good fit for the Eagles. Or maybe he wants to try to win another Super Bowl, which also is not a good fit for the Eagles. So I'm just going to pass over guys like that, guys like Antonio Brown. Anybody that's left at this point really probably has a major caveat to go with their name. A guy like Antonio Brown, I mean, he's a guy that needs a very structured or very, very different environment than a normal NFL receiver. Working with a guy like Tom Brady that he wanted to play with obviously helped him last year. They could be in on a defensive end too. I think that that's something that the Eagles would have interest in. A guy like Jadeveon Clowney, though, once again, looking for a max deal. Both of these guys that I just mentioned, though, Antonio Brown and Jadeveon Clowney, are guys that the Eagles have been connected to in the past. So nothing would surprise me. But I don't really think that those make a lot of sense. Now, T.Y. Hilton coming from Indianapolis, the same as most of our new coaches came from Indianapolis, I think that that would make a lot of sense, but it all depends on the money. I would love to have him on the roster, don't get me wrong, but at his age, I'm not 100% sold on that idea. So that's something I wouldn't be upset about, but, that's something that they would probably have to open up a little bit money to get T.Y. Hilton on the roster. And he could definitely help groom some of the young guys, too. I think that would be an added benefit for a guy like T.Y. Hilton. Malcolm Butler, a cornerback, he's a guy I'm not really a fan. I mean, he's definitely a solid number two cornerback if they were to go that route. But he's actually coming off one of his better coverage years as well. So he's definitely has high ceiling potential. I think he would fit that cover two cornerback, in my opinion, but I by no means a professional. So, he's a guy that I would definitely have some interest in. I would kick the tires. Now, I don't know if they have interest in a slot cornerback, but Brian Poole could be an interest. Quinn Dunbar, another guy that I like. I've always liked him for his size and speed. He's a 6'3" guy with, very fast wheels. I think he probably fits more like in a cover three scheme than he would a cover two scheme. But he's another guy. He's not too old. Really depends on how much he would cost. But there's definitely some quality cornerbacks out there. Melvin Ingram III, another guy, like I said, I would never you know, look at the Eagles and not think that they, if they can get a quality guy for the right price as a pass rusher, I think that they would always be in on that because that's their philosophy. As far as, you know, some of these receivers definitely look overpriced. Sammy Watkins is a guy who's never lived up to that number four overall pick that he was, but he's a solid player. He's still kind of young. He's only 28 years old. There's a lot of really good options. Linebacker, I just don't think. They never really seem to care about linebackers. They always bring in a super dirt cheap guy to try to fill a depth role. They've also spent a lot of picks last year on linebackers. So I would think that they would rather, hope that one of those guys develop. I personally think they have two solid linebackers already in Alex Singleton and TJ Edwards. I don't know how many third linebacker defenses they're going to run. But between those two guys and then obviously Davion Taylor and Sean Bradley, who they drafted last year, I think that they would hope somebody emerges. But if they did want to go the veteran route, if they did want to get a guy like KJ Wright, I'd be all for that. Maybe he won't cost too much because of his age. I mean, the guy's been playing in this league what feels like forever now. But there's a couple of, there's definitely some good, good names out there. There's more talk about them picking up a backup quarterback, a guy that can groom these young guys. I don't really think, people are looking at this all wrong. I mean, Joe Flacco's a name that keeps coming up. People are looking at it all wrong when it comes to the veteran backup role. I don't think they're bringing this guy in to win games. They're bringing him in. They want to have somebody in that quarterback room helping out the young guy. And I think that is important. And I don't really think you can put a price on that if it helps turn your starting quarterback into a quality, a top-tier NFL quarterback, which is what you want. They're going to put as many resources around Jalen Hurts or whoever's possible that they might draft at number six, yada, yada, yada. They're going to put as much resources around that guy as possible to hope that they can, turn him into the next, if it's Jalen Hurts, the next Russell Wilson. If it's whoever in the draft, the next whoever. That's really the goal, and I don't really have an issue with that, especially when, Joe Flacco is a guy who he's done it all. I mean, he's won Super Bowl MVPs. He's, he could definitely come in and play some snaps if they need him for a game or two as well. Say, injury happens at some point in an important game, he would definitely be a good guy to have. So there's still plenty of, there's still plenty of solid free agents out there that the Eagles could pick up. But like I said, they all have as much downside as upside. So, these guys, I feel like a lot of these veterans that they could sign, you really could be just like flipping a coin at this point as far as what you're going to get out of them. Which is kind of the, that's the game. But you can if you hit on a few of those, we saw in 2017, if you hit on some of these guys, that really made a huge difference in their Super Bowl run. Guys like Chris Long, guys like Patrick Robinson, cornerback, who I don't think anybody even really wanted. I mean, he was on a super cheap one-year deal, and then he really solidified that secondary that year. So there's a lot of, you can, if you make the right picks, if you make the right moves, it can really mean a lot for an organization. So, I don't want to be too negative as far as some of these players are concerned, because they can definitely still make a significant, upgrade to their team. I mean, a guy like, if you really want to dig deep, a guy like Kenny Stills, you want a guy who can stretch defense, I think he can still do that. He's very inconsistent, but he's a guy that when he plays well, he's had some very bright moments in this league. There's a lot of younger cornerbacks out there as well. An edge rusher that I like, Kerry Hyder. That's a guy that, he really had a strong year for the Niners last year. I mean, he's a guy that's, if you can get him on a dirt cheap deal, he would be an absolute steal. I would like to see, maybe they're playing the waiting game with some of these guys. You can't be too aggressive after guys that have questionable market value. I think that they might be what they're doing. They might just be playing the waiting game, waiting it out. And then once these guys are looking close to signing or they fall into place to a point where their name might come up next, maybe they'll strike. But they definitely need to open up some money to do that. So, but there's still a lot of really good names out there. There's still a lot of quality players in the positions that they need, that they could still really improve this roster. I'm just waiting for news on it. There was a scheduled visit by Adoree Jackson, but he immediately got snatched up by the New York Giants. And that's really, that brings me to the next segment. I really want to talk about some of the moves that these other teams are making. Let's start off with the worst or the least active, which is going to be the Dallas Cowboys, which should make a lot of Eagles fans happy. They did bring in a couple of guys. They brought in Keanu Neal, who's known for two things. He's known for getting injured because of his physical playing style, and he's known for his physical playing style. So it's really hard to say. I mean, Keanu Neal, he's a guy that can drop the hammer on anybody, and he's got a ton of potential. I mean, I can't really say a lot of bad things about Keanu Neal. He's a very good player when he plays, but that's the question. And he's more of a run defending player too. He's a hitter. You know what I mean? I don't know how great he is in coverage necessarily. But he definitely adds a dimension of toughness, physicality, and he can definitely help out with their run defense, which isn't great. So when he plays, which probably will be a limited amount of games, because of his injury history. But when he plays, he's a very good player. I just don't, I don't know how many games he'll play. But they definitely needed a safety. Their defense as a whole, I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to bring back Xavier Woods or what, if they have the money, I don't really know. But their secondary is looking kind of slim right now until it all falls together, which, is the hope when it comes to Dallas, is that their defense is terrible. They got a lot out of the edge rusher that they picked up, I don't know if it was last year or the year before that, but they received a very good pass rushing season, albeit very surprisingly out of Aldon Smith. They have a lot of guys that are still floating around in free agency that I know the Cowboys can't all bring back. They got cornerbacks that are floating around out there. They got, a lot of position players that are floating around out there that maybe some of them will come back and some would help. But for the most part, their defense looks pretty thin. Right now, their starting defensive ends are DeMarcus Lawrence, who, obviously is probably one of their best defensive linemen, and Randy Gregory, who barely ever plays because of suspension. And then you also have Neville Gallimore and Tristan Hill as their starting defensive tackles. I mean, that's not a very good defensive line at all. Maybe it projects. I mean, Tristan Hill he hasn't really done much. But Neville Gallimore, I think, still has the possibility that he could project into a good quality player. But for the most part, that defensive line looks very incomplete. The linebackers, obviously, Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch are still, solid, but they've had their troubles over the past couple years as well. And then the secondary, Trayvon Diggs, had some good games before he got hurt last year, and Anthony Brown's a solid slot cornerback, and that's pretty much all they got. Then you got Keanu Neal, who, for the most part, like I said, I don't know how many games he'll play, but the defense looks like a bit of a shell of what it was a couple years ago. I don't know what to make of that defense. They really need a lot. Probably they will address most of that through the draft. Their number one pick will be very interesting if they can get a cornerback that they want. On the offensive side, the offensive line, it looks like it has holes. But the offense, the Cowboys could easily finish last in this division is basically my point. When I say the Eagles look like the third or the fourth best team, it really depends on what happens with Dak Prescott. If he comes out and looks like nothing like he was, if he's, if he's favoring that injury, if he's not back physically, if he's not there mentally, if he just isn't playing well, if his timing's off, all that stuff, the slightest, we saw with Carson Wentz last year, if you're not determined, decisive, and in the moment and playing that game a certain way, timing is everything in the NFL. You really only have a split second to make decisions and to be accurate with the ball and, any number of things. Carson Wentz, especially coming off of his injury when he tore his ACL in 2018 when he came back, didn't look like the normal Carson Wentz. So, we could see that with Dak Prescott. We could see him not looking well. And if he doesn't look well out there as their starter, if he's just kind of laboring, or if he's, if he's not playing as well as he was, and I don't even think he was really playing that great before he got hurt, to be honest with you. But if he's not playing to that level, if he's playing below that level, then I think that this offense will fall apart behind him. I mean, it doesn't matter how great your weapons are if your quarterback's playing like crap. As we saw with the Eagles last year, we didn't have great weapons, but the quarterback was playing like crap and it held the whole team back. So that, plus the offensive line of the Cowboys, it doesn't look great. I mean, Tyron Smith, he misses so many games, and he's not what he was. The only lineman on that team that still is what they were is Zach Martin, who's one of the best linemen in the game, absolutely. But for the most part, their center position is a mystery, and everything else is too. I mean, for the most part, they have a lot of guys who are going to miss a lot of games. If one of those guys misses a game, if Tyron Smith gets hurt again, like he's done in the past, then this entire offensive line is just going to be a match match shift. Every week it's going to be like making a new line, and that's not going to be very good for Dak Prescott, who's coming off of a major injury, and just like any quarterback doesn't do well with pressure. So I could see the Cowboys imploding. I really could, and them finishing dead last. It would not surprise me at all. I'm basing that a lot off of, like I said, the two teams I'm going to mention here are on the rise, while the Eagles and the Cowboys seem to be on a major decline. One of the teams on the rise, I'll talk about the Giants next. They've made probably the most significant contributions, and I couldn't have been more wrong about them, because I originally thought that they, when I looked it up, I thought they didn't have any money. When I was looking at overthecap.com in a previous podcast, it didn't look like they had a ton of money, but they went out and spent it. So I don't know, where they found this money, what mattress they found it under, what pillow they found it under, but they had enough money to go out and make some very meaningful contributions, especially to the receiving core and to the secondary, which is what the Eagles are trying to do, and they're not having a lot of success doing. Now, number one, they brought in John Ross. Not a huge addition, but a guy that can stretch the field. When he does play, once again, I mean, he's very inconsistent. He gets hurt a lot. But when he does play, he's a very explosive playmaker. He could make some plays for them. That's a good addition. But the great addition was Kenny Golladay, who I think is one of the better receivers in the league. And based off the fact that he played in Detroit, never really got that recognition, based off the fact that, certain NFL teams are like Siberia when it comes to being an NFL star. He's not on the level of Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson. So he never really got, that type of league-wide recognition. But Kenny Golladay is a great player. He's a 6'4 guy. He's 6'4 with speed. He can stretch the field. He can average, 20 yards a catch on a season, or he could be a very good red zone target. I mean, this guy, he can do it all. He's an excellent number one receiver, and he should make Daniel Jones better. The receiving core, I think without a doubt, Darius Slayton was his number one guy. I think you saw him go to Darius Slayton the most, and Darius Slayton is another very good receiver. He's very similar to Kenny Golladay. He has a lot of those same traits. So now they have two guys like that. And then you also have Sterling Shepard, who's a very good, slot receiver. He's good at getting open. I mean, he's a very dependable NFL wide receiver. Those three guys right there give him a very good receiving core. They also brought in Kyle Rudolph, a very good veteran tight end who might fit into, running packages a little bit better. They still have Evan Ingram, but they've never really, they've never capitalized on Evan Ingram's outstanding athleticism, which is, he's essentially a receiver. I mean, he's not really a tight end. He's a guy that I can't really characterize him as a tight end, but they have a ton of weapons now, and they have some flexibility with a guy like Kyle Rudolph, with guys like, they also brought Devontae Booker at running back, Saquon Barkley coming back. I mean, they can do a lot of different things. This is another scenario where it's all going to depend on the quarterback. I mean, like I said, these weapons will make Daniel Jones better. I just don't know if they'll make him good enough, because I still think that he's a subpar quality quarterback. I still don't think he makes great decisions, but it wouldn't surprise me if he developed also. I mean, that could happen. He could develop into a top 15, top 10 type quarterback over time. It wouldn't surprise me. I've seen, we've seen weirder things in the NFL. But looking at this offense around him, it's going to make him better. It's going to make his job easier. I think the biggest issue is still going to be their offensive line, though. Their offensive line, they actually lost Kevin Zeitler. They cut him, to save money and spend in other places. But their offensive line looks like a joke. With Will Hernandez probably having the most potential, a second-round pick from a couple years ago, and then Nate Solder, who they signed for a major contract extension. They did draft Andrew Thomas last year, but he didn't look too great his first year. And then, for the most part, I just think that this offensive line, it could really be an issue for Daniel Jones. If he's getting pressured too much, just like Dak Prescott, that's all that really is going to matter at the end of the day. It's going to stop a lot of plays in the backfield. Their offense is looking way better. This team also was playing way better as the season ended last year. And they've also made some really good additions in the secondary as well. James Bradbury was one of the best signings in the NFL last year. He basically went to them and became a Pro Bowler. He was one of the best cornerbacks in the entire league. And they went and signed Adoree Jackson, who I mentioned earlier that the Eagles were apparently, possibly looking at as a guy that they were going to bring up for a visit. I think they paid too much, but he is a young, talented cornerback. He's a former first-round pick. Great athlete, playmaking ability when he gets the ball in his hands, former punt returner, stuff like that. So their secondary actually looks pretty solid between those two cornerbacks, Jabril Peppers, who also has had some success in this league, Logan Ryan, a very savvy veteran who's now obviously switched to safety. And then I also like some of their young guys. They've spent a lot of draft picks in the secondary over the years. Julian Love, very talented player. Xavier McKinney, very talented player. High draft picks. I think Julian Love, I think might have been a fifth, but I think he also might have been a third. I think he was a little bit higher than that. They've also, Sam Beal's another guy that they got in the supplemental draft. They have a lot of young guys. I don't know how many of them are going to pop, but they have a lot of potential on that back half in that secondary. Now, I think they have a little bit less potential in the front seven, but they still have high first round draft picks like Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams, who they just extended. So there's still a lot of ability. I think that overall, none of the teams in the NFC East are going to be competing for Super Bowls. That's not really the point here. None of these teams are going to be putting the league on notice, but a lot of them are going to be putting, they're going to be putting a lot of challenges for the Eagles and putting the division on notice. And I think that the Giants are one of those teams that definitely could be competing for the NFC's crown. It really is depending on a couple things. It depends on their coach. I don't know, part of me thinks their coach might be a bit of a bozo based off of some of the comments that he's made. I'm not sold on him. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to say, I don't want to go that far, but he still has a lot to prove. They went like 5 games last year, and then he's squawking about how the Eagles threw the last game for a draft pick. Dude, like, if you're really that worried about it, you'd have did a little bit better than 5-10 or whatever the hell they were. So that's something that, whatever. Like, somebody owe you something winning 5 games. Like the league should stop. It should come to a grinding halt because of your 5-game season. So, yeah, the Giants, they obviously have to win a few more games than that to be competitive. But they were competitive coming down the stretch, which is always a good sign for me. When you have a young coach, when it doesn't always come down to wins and losses to me. If you see how they were trending in the right direction, that by the end of the year they were competing in every game, that's a good sign for a young coach, and I think that could be a good sign for their future. So they're definitely a team to watch out for. But the team that, obviously to me is winning the offseason is a team that is usually the laughingstock of the division and most of the league, and that's the Washington football team. We all know they have a good coach because Ron Rivera's been to, he's won on every level. He's made it to a Super Bowl. Now they're winning the offseasons, which typically was not their forte. Typically they went to the offseasons and made a lot of stupid decisions. I don't really think they made any stupid decisions in this offseason. I think they made a lot of good ones. Starting on the offensive side, and I predicted this, I'm pretty sure if I go back into a previous podcast, I probably predicted Ryan Fitzpatrick to Washington was a good move, and it was a move I didn't want to see happen. They did do that. They signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think can give their offense enough of a boost that their defense can really, the defense can already win games for them. But now you have a competent offensive quarterback that could give you enough firepower that they could probably win a few games that they aren't supposed to win. He could definitely keep them in games. And even if they don't come out and have a great day on defense, he could keep you in games. He's a streaky player. He'll also lose a couple games for you. But ultimately, I feel like he's a very good – he's immediately in the conversation. I think all the quarterbacks – it's really hard to say who's the best quarterback in this division. I think a lot of people would say Dak Prescott. But based off of his injuries and based off of I don't really think he's that great to begin with. You really have, I don't even know. I can't even say right now we probably say Dak Prescott, but by the end of the year, you could pick any one of the four quarterbacks and say that might be the best quarterback in the division based off of the year they have in 2021. It's wide open to say who's the best quarterback in the division. And Ryan Fitzpatrick has had some of the most success in this league. He was having a great year in Miami before they took the job from him. I think he's to the point where he's played enough games in his NFL career that he's a very reliable, very dependable, very good leader. And he's a guy that I'd rather the Washington football team not have. I've gone over at length about how I think that they've already have pretty good weapons in Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson, who these are guys they found the draft in the last couple of years, as well as Logan Thomas, who I just watched blossom last year. Honestly, I think that he's a phenomenal tight end in the making. Their offensive line still needs some help, but they can address that in the draft, probably in the second or third round. I still think they'll take a quarterback in the first round if they can. But ultimately, they have a lot of talent around Fitzpatrick, and they added to that by signing Curtis Samuel, another guy who's a speedster, he's a playmaker, he's a lot like Terry McLaurin, a guy that I feel You know, really, he came on last year in Carolina, and I think that he's a guy that is going to be a problem for years to come for Philadelphia, because he's a playmaker. He's an absolute playmaker, and I think he learned how to play receiver a little bit better last year too. So they have a lot of speed between him and Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, lots of speed on the field, and then obviously on the defensive side of the field is where they really shine. They went and made some additions there as well. I mean, bringing in William Jackson to solidify one of the cornerback spots is a good move. Former first round pick. They probably could use a safety, but I'm pretty sure they still have money that they could do something like that. So, you know, most of their additions is probably where they need it the most on the offensive side. But for the most part, they don't have a lot of holes as far as, you know, what they need left. I mean, they could probably use a little more help here and there, maybe a linebacker, maybe a safety, maybe a definitely on the offensive line, they probably need a little bit of help. But for the most part, the Washington football team, they look like, you know, they look like they could definitely win this division again, which is really, I think, that the pretty much the height of what any NFC East team could hope for right now. I think that the Eagles are taking the longer term approach of it and the longer view of it, and say, what do we got to do to get to a point where we can win a Super Bowl? And I think that's really the, you know, obviously nobody really cares about just winning this division next year as much as the long term goal, which is to win more championships. And a team like Washington, like I said, they may improve their chances this upcoming season, but they don't have no, you know, there's no real long-term hope for them winning championships. You need to get, same thing with the Giants. Like, I have no real thought that the Giants will ever win a Super Bowl with the quarterback that they have. I don't think that, you know, I feel the same way about Dak Prescott. Like, when I look at the division as a whole and I look at their future of each team, this next year doesn't look great for the Eagles. They probably have the worst outlook for 2021. But when it comes to how I project these teams, you know, 5 years down the line, I think the Eagles could have one of the best outcomes. And it really all depends on their quarterback spot. I mean, Daniel Jones, I don't care what he does, he will never be a top five quarterback, which is what you want in this league. I don't think Dak Prescott ever will be either. You know, obviously, I don't think that the Washington football team even have a quarterback yet that they are looking at to say this will be our guy in however many years. They don't even have a guy like that. The Eagles, on the other hand, have a guy that I think could project in Jalen Hurts. Like I said, I've heard multiple people say that he's very Russell Wilson-like, that he could project to a guy like that. Or they also have the caveat that they could also take a quarterback at six. And I think that any number of quarterbacks that they could get at six, I like better as far as a prospect than Daniel Jones, who was you know, an unusually high draft pick because there was such a dearth of quarterback talent that year. I mean, that was a horrible year for quarterback talent, other than Kyler Murray. I mean, you saw Dwayne Haskins goes 10th. He's already out of the league. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, you know, that was he. If you put him in this draft, he'd probably be like a second or third round pick. If you put Daniel Jones in this year's NFL draft. So I don't think a guy like him, compared to what the Eagles could get at the sixth pick, or even Jalen Hurts. I still think Jalen Hurts is more talented than Daniel Jones. So I think for long term, and especially since quarterback is so important to teams' futures, you know, I would take the Eagles quarterback situation, the Eagles team situation with Jalen Hurts, who might be the franchise guy, in combination with the fact that they might still take a quarterback in sixth with the sixth pick. You know, that combination of we still might be able to get our guy, which, you know, the Washington football team at the pick that they're at, there's not going to be any quarterbacks left. There's not going to be all the top tier quarterbacks will be gone. And that includes Mac Jones by the time Washington comes up to select. So unless Washington is willing to trade multiple first round picks and make a huge package deal to move up and get the quarterback at the high end of this draft, they're going to be stuck with, you know, maybe a second round pick or, you know, something else. I don't think they're going to be, they're going to be hard pressed to get that guy. And it's not going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick long term. So Giants are locked into a guy that I think is going to be a bust at the end of the day. The Cowboys just locked into Dak Prescott, which I think is going to hamstring their organization the same way that he always has. I mean, if you look at all the talent that he has around him now, last year, especially when they were losing, and his entire career, he's had top-tier offensive lines, top-tier running games, top-tier receiving corps, his entire career, and he's never done anything with them. He never will. He's had top-tier defenses. He's never done anything with them. He's won one playoff game in all his time in Dallas. He came into a team, and he got so much credit for that first year where they went 13-3 and had the number one seed. a lot of that was how great the offensive line was, the running game was, the Dez Bryant, Jason Witten. He had so many great players, even now, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb. He's just always surrounded by Pro Bowls and Hall of Fame talent, and he's never really taken them anywhere. He never will, especially now he's making $40 million a year. You don't think that's going to hurt the long-term outlook of that team and their ability to fill the numerous holes that they have? I mean, they were doing good because he was on a rookie deal for the first couple years of his career. And now, this last year, when he was in the first year that he was making money, they couldn't afford anybody and their team fell apart. Now that you can expect that every year for the next 4 years, I don't think they're ever going to go anywhere. So the Eagles aren't locked into a high-priced situation with quarterback. They could either ride it out with Jalen Hurts and maybe he becomes, like I said, he's got a lot of potential in my eyes. I think that Dak Prescott is a good comp. I think that he's going to be somewhere between Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson. That's something I've said multiple times. I feel like that's pretty much where he's going to be. He's going to fall in that range somewhere, which is a pretty good range to get out of a second round pick. That plus he's dirt cheap, which is always a benefit for an NFL team to be working with a quarterback that's not making a lot of money. But that combined with the fact that they could still take a quarterback at number six, I think is a better place to be in, because I would take any one of these young prospects out of the draft, whether it's Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I wouldn't say that about Mac Jones, but those two guys, or maybe even the kid from BYU, I don't think he'll be there, but ultimately I would take any number of those prospects, and they all have a higher ceiling than anything that these other teams are working with. If you put the quarterbacks from these other three teams in the division, if you put Daniel Jones in this draft, Daniel Jones only went as high as he did because it was a horrific draft. I mean, honestly, for quarterbacks, not for players as a whole, but for quarterbacks, it was really just Kyler Murray and then a bunch of guys the number 10 pick, Dwayne Haskins, is already out of the league. That's how bad. He was projected to be a second or third round pick in that draft, and the Giants jumped the gun and took him as high as they did. So if you put him in this draft, he would be a third round pick in this draft with the quarterbacks that they have. At the very least, he would be a first round talent. And the Eagles have a potential, to get one of these top six guys. So I think the Eagles are in a much better position. I still am kind of in the realm of I wouldn't be mad if they took a quarterback. I'm really not really sure. I do like Jalen Hurts, but I went back and watched some of his some of the plays he made and some of the games that he played in, and I'm still impressed. But part of me wonders, Part of me, I just have to wonder. It's fair to wonder, what is Jalen Hurts' long-term outlook? And you're in a position at six, where if you feel like, I especially like Justin Fields, I keep going back to him. He's a guy where if you get him at six, I would be elated. Jalen Hurts hasn't shown me enough for me not to want that guy. That's basically how I feel about it. Now, Jalen Hurts could prove us wrong this year. He'd come into this next season and play outstanding football, and it wouldn't surprise me either. But it's just really hard to... I don't know. Like I said, luckily I don't have to make that decision. I'm just going to sit back and watch. But I would much rather be in the Eagles' position than any of these other three teams after this next coming season. This next coming season, it's anybody's ball game. But ultimately, I feel like the Eagles still have the brightest future for the next 5 years, based off of their current situation, based off the fact that they either could ride out Jalen Hurts' dirt cheap contract and maybe he turns into a star, or the fact that they could draft somebody number six and ride out a dirt cheap contract and maybe he turns into a star. I would much rather have that than to be tied to these three quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who none of them are taking them anywhere. I'd much rather have the field, which is where the Eagles are at. We're at the field. You got three quarterbacks that are named, and the Eagles got the field. I'd take the field at this point. So I'm going to go ahead and end this podcast. If you guys aren't followers, I'd love a follow if you made it this far. And other than that, the second the Eagles sign somebody, I'm sure there's another signing coming down the pipe or more free agency rumors. The second that happens, I will be bringing you guys another podcast. So make sure to hit a follow for that. Other than that, this has been Philadelphia Eagles Talk, and I'm your host, Kevin Woodman. Thanks for listening.